When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, you got it? Is that working? Every day you leave the house as a skateboarder, you're prepared to die. Bombing a hill, rolling in on a concrete pool. Jason Jesse, he don't give a shit. Living or dying, one step away every day. Or we can do, I'll do some more.
Yeah, let's do a couple.
Ain't afraid of living, ain't afraid of dying. Just another day, I'll keep fucking trying. You leave the house, be ready to pay. Skating vert, skating street, skateboarding, it's pretty dangerous shit. Andre Tefeki, that was the 80s, bro. Think about it, Jay. And I like that one too.
Chopping wood at the edge of America in Watsonville, California. I'm Schmitty and this is Talkin' Schmidt. Today is episode 70, and to help us celebrate the big 7-0, it's my good friend, Jason Lee Jesse. Jason turned pro for Santa Cruz Skateboards the same exact day and year our bro Sammy Baca was born. He later helped form Consolidated Skateboards and had three amazing video parts before returning to Santa Cruz, where he had boatloads of signature wheels and apparel, signature trucks, and the number one board sales for years. He even landed the cover of Thrasher magazine. Today, Jason takes his legendary legacy to a 100% hands-on approach, owning his brands. With the Driven Skateboards, Bricks brand, and what many are calling the best team in boarding, Rollers California.
I'm so excited. I haven't been this excited about life in the fast lane for a long time.
He's no weak suck, and he sure as hell ain't no common dandy. And what we do now next? Well, it's podcast time.
Hello, this is Pamela Jesse, mother of Jason Jesse, and you are listening to Talkin' Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old college try, right now.
All big dogs in.
Schmitty.
96 times, Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
We on? Schmitty.
Talking Schmidt.
That's called going to the hospital, bitch.
I be shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
I don't give a fuck about your fucking multi-million dollar numbers.
Who is this guy who thinks he's tough shit?
What's up?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yeah!
Hello, everyone. Today's guest needs no introduction.
Oh, look how cool.
Oh my
God. We just
God.
Saw a dragon go by.
Anyway.
What introduction are we using?
We're going to do an intro right now. 3, 2, 1, boom. We're here with Jason Jesse. The pleasure is all of ours. I've been waiting for this moment, and it's finally arrived.
Me too.
So I'm stoked.
Me too. A long time. Describe what type of dolphin shorts I'm wearing.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm wearing it. Well, I'll just tell
these
you.
Are the type of things that is good for no video because people can only imagine.
I would appreciate you letting me explain. I'm wearing a tank top that has a volleyball player on it. I'm wearing white and blue striped dolphin shorts, flip flops. Actually, one, my flip flops broke, so I'm wearing flow hose. And why are you laughing?
What about the visor?
The visor is cracked, so it's getting repaired right now with crazy glue. And my hair is parted and feathered. And I have a pair of croquis holding on my Oakley Blade 3s.
Damn.
I've been doing a lot of volleyball, beach volleyball. Everyone's indoors and stuff. I'm like, let's get outdoors and do some volleyball.
Yeah, I just broke out of house arrest and just bolted down here. We got to start from the way, way, way back.
The way, way back?
Yeah, we got to know.
The wayward back.
Like, born and raised back.
Oh, this is going to be great. Well, first, should I just get right into it?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I was born in Newport Beach at Hoag Hospital. And the sad thing is that, well, the happy thing is, Hoagie the Clown was still around when I was born. I went to Cardin Hall schools and they were private. We got to go to an outing to the hospital. Like, we're going on a field trip. To Hoag Hospital. And I met Hoagie the Clown. I may have talked about this before. And went home and was like, Mom, because she's a midwife. And I met my doctor that delivered me. And she's like, oh, you did? You met Hoagie the Clown? And I was like, oh, never mind. She beat me to that joke.
Yeah.
She's pretty witty.
I never heard this one.
And then the sad thing is that's where Jeff Grosso was pronounced dead, at Hoag Hospital.
Right, I did hear that. Fuck.
It's pretty weird.
So full circle.
Yeah, it's weird. Life, and on the flip side of that, death is not scary. You just have to embrace it. And once you're cool with it, whenever your time comes, you're good. And you go into death with a positive mind state. And so you're not scared of it, and you get to get everything out of it you want.
I hope I'm asleep when I die.
Well, whatever it is, I hope mine's a very violent, bloody death, because I know I'm going to embrace it with just stoked.
Right now is a perfect time for you to give a statement that you want everyone to put on their Instagram after you die. This is Jason talking about death.
That would be incredible. I've been talking about it since I was 12, 14, and the Streets on Fire video. I wanted to die then. Like, and then that's the sad thing. So technically, when you really look at it, I'm actually probably terrified to die. So I talk about it so much that it'll never happen.
Felber used to say that we're all alive suffering, and the ones that died got off easy.
It's true.
That's what you used to always say. I'm suffering while Curtis is dead.
Yeah, no more standing in lines. So since this Corona thing, I realized like, wow, I actually have chickens, and there's a farm up the street where my warehouse is.
Yeah.
Technically, I can live. What's in front of me is my reality.
Just need to make a well.
The well, the water that comes out of this place is the most pure water. My friend Rick's on the water board. Technically, I can live here without leaving this house.
Garden,
with
eggs.
Chickens. These chickens multiply. I yell at them, produce more eggs, and they do. So then I give them away, and then you can trade eggs for vegetables. I got a garden going. I juice. Okay, so one banana, two eggs is a pancake. Sammy Baca taught me that.
Oh, yeah.
No syrup, just add salt. Best thing I've ever tasted. You can work out here. I'm blessed, and I'm thankful every day of my entire boring life. I create dilemmas, but I'm blessed. You know it. You've been here. I've seen you weed wacka.
Yeah.
And I see whales all the time.
Oh, we did see one earlier, fucking breaching.
Very close, resting.
After Hoag Hospital.
Yeah, I went home.
You grew up in San Clemente area?
Orange County, and then Tustin until I was 8. Moved to San Clemente. But when I was in Tustin, my grandma would take me to the Big O. And then once I moved to San Clemente, Herbie Fletcher would take me and Nathan and Christian to Big O. And I recently saw, a while back, I saw Super 8 that Herbie had of me and Christian skating the Holiday Bowl.
Sick.
And Cara Beth was there, and I had seen her on the after school special. And then I saw Stacy Peralta on a commercial, How to Fall.
No way.
So I learned how to fall in front of my grandma's house. And then
it was a commercial on TV?
Yeah.
Stacy Peralta teaching people how to fall?
Yeah. And then Cara Beth was in the after school special. I forget what it's called, but then I saw her there. But then in the footage, Neil Blender rolls in behind me and Christian. So I was maybe 10 then.
And you didn't know Neil at that time?
No. And then Cara Beth showed me how to do fakey tail stalls. Like, it was cool. And then to go fakey. Uh-huh. She was super nice. To this day, I love her. And then when I was 12, I went to Del Mar, and my dad told me, I'll drop you off in the morning. I'll pick you up, but you have to drop into that pool. And my dad's a pool builder. When we lived on Balboa Island when I was born, right?
Uh-huh.
And then my grandpa and grandma lived in Santa Ana, and we have a street named after us in Santa Ana, Jesse Way or Jesse Court.
Oh, yeah, I went and got the photo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because my grandpa, he was a really neat grandpa, wonderful man, and people loved him. And my dad was kind of a rowdy.
But real quick, before we get to there, What was your first skateboard? Like, how did the skateboard come into your life?
My brother Brent and Jeff skateboarded, and my brother Brent had a Jay Adams, and my dad told me to go down Red Hill Drive. It's a really steep hill, and my brother said, go zigzag. But I went straight and ate shit, and then I was eight, and then my dad scrubbed all the gravel out with Ajax and a SOS pad.
That was a Jay Adams board?
Yeah, I still have it.
And, no way.
Yeah, and so I remember screaming, and he's like, we got to get the dirt out. We got to get it out. And I remember thinking, man, skateboarding is painful, but I love it.
Yeah.
And so that's weird. But then, and my brother said the same thing. He's like, no, he scrubbed it with SOS pads. And I was like, whoa. So then after that, we would skate Red Hill Ditch, Sadlands, Lloyd's Bank, Sanolands. And then I went to Del Mar. My grandma would take me to Del Mar. And then we moved to San Clemente. Then that's when Herbie took us to Big O. And Herbie had the first mountain bike ever made by Mert Lawwell. And
really?
Mert Lawwell was on any Sunday. And he was a motorcycle racer.
Dude, Herbie is such an important part of life. Like, he was one of the first people known to skate in a backyard pool, right?
Barefoot. He's a key figure in everything I stand for, like, big time. And then Christian's my oldest friend since fourth grade.
Yeah, so what was it like growing up with the Fletchers? You had Nathan and Christian and Herbie.
Nathan's just a 100% sweetheart, and Christian's a maniac. And I was a Mormon with Mormon guilt. Scout's mom, my first girlfriend when I was 12, her mom got yelled off the tennis courts by Dibby. Like, get the fuck, when you fat fucking bitches getting off the fucking tennis courts, we want to play. And I remember hearing this story going, damn, Christian's mom is cool. And then Christian showed up at school in fifth grade, I've talked about this, with a little film canister with this white stuff in it. It was cocaine. And he put it in his gums and they make it numb. And I was too scared. I was like, I don't know, I'm Mormon, I'll get in trouble and go to this place, I don't even know why.
Sure.
And then the next day he showed up with shaved head, all crazy, with dyed different colors, and I'm like, I want to be like that, but without getting in trouble for the cocaine. But that's a true story. And
holy shit.
Anyways, I don't know if that made any sense, but
no, it didn't.
But me and Christian started off on different roads. I went skateboarding and he went surfing, but we both skateboarded and surfed. His dad taught him surfing, and my dad built pools, so I skateboarded. Hmm. My brother skateboarded.
Was Del Mar your park? Which one was the one you liked the best?
Del Mar.
Del Mar. Because
my dad would acid wash it, and then I would skate for free.
Would you only skate the keyhole, or would you skate?
No, everything. Because I saw Dave Bedore and Gator skate every pool. I watched them go to every bowl and then leave. And I was like, what? I want to do that. But Chip Morton came up with my nickname was Lewis. And then Tony Hawk called me Lewis.
No, yeah. Why?
I don't know. My nickname was
later Lewis or something?
Just Lewis. I don't know. They thought my name was Lewis. And then that went away. You know, Del Mar was the meeting place since I was 12.
Damn.
And I would go there. I would take Amtrak from San Juan Capistrano to Del Mar. And when the guy came to collect the tickets, I would go into the bathroom because I didn't have any money. And then if he did catch me, I would be like, I thought my dad took care of it.
Right.
What do I do? And then after the one time, I was like, always have enough to pay for a ticket. So it's not like you're that guy that's like, oh, there's that one guy.
So that's like, we had a water slide near our house, and we used to, they had different color wristbands for each time slot.
Oh,
so we collected all the wristbands and put them in our shorts. And then we went to the bathroom and got ourselves all wet. And then ran out with the right color. We're like, hey, we just went to the bathroom. And then we just did water slide free all day, switching them up.
That's the best. But and technically, when they're sitting around at their stupid meetings, they're like, we need kids like this.
Yeah.
Because they're so excited.
Right.
Well, they'll keep the people coming because we need people in the park having fun.
Oh, my God.
What if they were onto it the whole time?
Yeah.
Like, you never know what you don't know.
We were influencers before influencers were a thing.
I don't know. So sick.
And your mom was, they gave birth to the Godoy Knox, right?
So my mom's a midwife, been one since I was six. So I was raised Mormon, and it was super cool. It actually was the coolest because it's a real family-oriented situation. Like, every Monday, we would all eat dinner. I had two brothers and me. I was the youngest, so I got away with anything and everything.
Yeah.
And we would eat dinner, and then Monday night, we would just talk about the week and all this stuff, and it was cool. My dad would pass out, and we would make fun of him, and, like, and I went to private schools, right? And then my brothers went to, on Mormon missions, France and Bolivia. And when it was my turn, I was like, Dad, I'm not doing shit. Like, I'm a skateboarder. I'm moving out when I'm 16. And he's like, okay. So he's like, good luck with that. But we support you, whatever. And I dropped out of school in ninth grade and then moved out.
Well, true or false, your parents had Brad Dorfman sleeping on the couch for a while.
So, yeah, that's a real thing.
And then later, you were sponsored by Brad Dorfman.
For a short period of time until he realized. Like, I just saw photographs of my dad's 40th birthday, and I'm 10 years old. And I'm looking, and I'm like, damn, there's Brad Dorfman right there. I might have showed you. And
yeah.
I was like, there's Brad Dorfman. And then my mom clarified, yeah, we took him to the Navy because your dad couldn't stand him on the couch anymore in the den. Because we had a den. It was a coolest hangout ever. And if you were in the 70s, returned from Vietnam or something like that, my uncles, you would just hang out in the den. It was sick.
Right.
So I think he slept in there on the couch or something. Either way, they got sick of him, took him to the Navy or whatever. There's a photo of it, and I brought it to Brad, and he took it from me. He was like, I can't believe that's your mom and dad. Oh, man. And he looked cool, though. He had short hair, and he looked real nice. And I was like, yeah, they said you lived at our house, and oh yeah, blah blah blah. And then I rode for him, right? Gator got me on.
That was your first video. You're like bombing the hill.
Yeah, visions with Gator. You saw that?
Yeah, like a little kid bombing down the hill and behind Gator. Yeah.
Me and Bruno Herzog. So my brother's married to the daughter of the guy who filmed that. She's in the video when we skate through where the phone is.
Yeah.
Gator says straws are not cool, you know. And I was like, damn, don't ever use straws again. He's right. So Karen Eastwood, that's her name. She's great. My brother Jeff is married to her now.
Whoa.
Yeah, so Karen Eastwood got a ride home with Gator, and I was in the back. I was 12. I took him inside. I'm like, Gator, will you sign my wall? I have you, Chris Miller, Jeff Phillips, Neil Blender on my wall. Will you sign? And he was like, yeah. You know, he's charisma'd out.
Yeah.
So when we were driving back, he was doing his nails, filing his nails, and his hair is all crazy. And he was like, hey, so you want to go on a date later to Karen? And I was like, man, he's so cool. He's horny. That's crazy. But I'm like, horny leads to having kids, which is gross.
I feel like it was called, like, yeah, Vision.
Skate Visions.
Skate Visions, yeah.
Yeah, and Gator was in it. Jeff Phillips and Chris Robinson were in it. Robinson, he died. Jeff Phillips died. When they walk up with Gator at Upland, they're like, yeah, it's Gator, Jeff Phillips, and Chris Robinson. And Chris Robinson was a good friend of mine. That scene's pretty heavy. I put that in the Consolidated video, one of the videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that your first sponsor then, or was Gullwing?
Uncle Wiggly was.
Uncle Wiggly before Vision.
Yeah, and then Steve Stedham was like, you want to ride for Pal? And I was like, yeah. So he gave me a Stedham Experimental.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Lockett Lance's. And Fausto was there barbecuing.
Atlantis?
Yeah.
No way.
And he had just had a kid, so that would have been Tony or Sally?
Tony.
So it was when I was 15, because in 84 I was on Uncle Wiggly, and the guy from my school paper, ninth grade, only 3 months, took a photo of me doing a leaner at Del Mar. Then I got the Pal Experimental Stedham board. Stedham spent the night. We went to Lance's, Lock of Lance's. Steve Stedham showed me how to do backs and airs. He's like, roll in as fast as you can and fucking launch. He's like, just go as fucking high as you can and grab the board in the air.
Huh.
And I was like, really? Sick. And that's how he did method airs. It was the best. He's wow. Like, scrape your tail and just scuh. You know, and then I was like, okay. And then I came back and Gator's like, you should ride for Vision. You want one of my prototypes? And I was like, yeah, sick, because Gator is my favorite. So then I rode for Vision, went and did a demo at Knott's Berry Farm with the skate safety mom, Gail Webb. And I grew up in, that's in the 80s in Los Angeles, Santa Ana, all the, we went to punk rock shows. So I was like, Fuck authority. Fuck anyone telling you what to do. That's fucking Nazi shit. Fuck that. We don't listen to nothing. We do what we do because we're skateboarders. Yeah. That's what we do. You think you could tell Mike Smith what to do? He would show up in just trunks and just rip and live in his bus. So then I saw Dwayne shaving people's heads in the bathroom and I got so scared. And Freddie DeSoto took my photo for my Del Mar card. I love that dude. And he's the best frontside inverts ever. He didn't give a fuck. I saw Dwayne's spray paint on the table out front of Big O, Skinhead's Terror. And that was just punk rock. So then I would hang out with Mike Lorman and we would go to Olympic Auditorium and I'd see Mark Gonzalez, Spidey, Lance, everybody. So everyone went to these spots. Del Mar, Upland, Lance's, punk rock shows, contests, Tahoe. I was at Tahoe.
Terror at Tahoe.
Yeah.
Was it more like at that time, since there was so few people doing it, was it more of a brotherhood, like everyone liked each other? Yeah, or was there still kind of like, nothing. Fuck that guy? Or,
no, nothing. There's no fuck that guy.
Okay. Like if you skated, if
someone didn't like him, it was funny. I'm not going to say names.
Right.
Because that's just weird now, because I actually love these dudes that we would crack up about. Everyone was cool. It was such a small scene. How could you not like someone? It was something that we had and no one else could infiltrate.
Right.
You can't come in and coach us.
So was it full circle? Did Dorfman kick you off because he found out you were parents' son?
No, so I went to Knott's Berry Farm and they were Gail Webb's safety mom. And I'm like, the word safety mom is so dumb. So someone told me to do something and I was like, what? And I stepped over this fence. And they're like, you're kicked out of here, buddy. I hate when that happens. So I got kicked out, went back to go get some stuff from Brad, and he's like, you are off the team. You violated safety mom, Gail Webb. I was like, what? She and my mom? And then he kicked me off. So I was like, good. I don't have anything to do with you because you suck. Like, you're the worst. He was, too. He's a kook. For the record, dude's a kook. Me and Mark went there later, and Mark's all, Brad owes me a lot of money. Let's go there. I went there, and instead of him just being like, yeah, Mark, I owe you money, here's the deal. He's like, hey, Jason, you like old cars and motorcycles? And he throws me a book of all these old cars and motorcycles he has, and he's like, those are all mine. And I was just like, yuck. Well, who cares? And then he was just a dick to Mark, and then we were over it. And just to fast forward to prove what a kook he is, maybe he has a good heart. I don't know. But Gator raped, murdered, and he still sells a board with the word Gator on it.
Yeah, that was insane. We went into those skate shops that one day, and there was like five of them on the wall.
He should be a pillar for being like, hey, this dude killed and murdered. We'll never sell this graphic again. How cool would that be? Let's do some advanced thinking instead of like, just maybe it'll just get under the carpet.
Yeah.
No. Let's really reflect.
And let's not keep making Joe Lopes board either and keeping the money from that. Like, it's like pretty crazy.
And that's too bad because money over human is not okay.
Yeah, ever. I know you and Jeff, like, you would run into each other throughout your youth. Did you go on a trip with him?
With Grosso?
Yeah, you've been on trips, right?
That was my first trips ever.
No way.
Yeah, my first trip. Alabama. I shared a room with him. My first trip to England was with him. I was in rooms with him. First trip to Australia was with him.
Wow.
And it's so crazy. We just meet at the gate. He is funny because he's an Eeyore. He would be either in a good mood or bad mood or tired, but he was always the best.
I'd like to, if you're down, to give the story about the video where you're in the jail at the Santa Cruz video. It was at a real jail, right?
It was in East LA. I got a call and was like, yeah, just can you be in this East LA jail? Here's the address. 1986. And he's like, here's the address. Meet those guys at 4 in the morning at the jail. We're filming it all, and they filmed it all in one day.
Was there like people in the jail?
No, it was an abandoned jail.
An abandoned jail?
And
okay.
It's still abandoned. That's the jail they filmed the Lady Gaga video. And I think it's been used for a lot of movie stuff or whatever.
Okay.
But it was in East LA, and that was all in one day. All those dudes came through.
Wow.
Like, Grosso.
Hey, Meatball. I got a couple of your scumbag friends here to see, but I got something to do. They're going to stay outside.
You're not
So, Max, shut up.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah, we just got back from Texas and skated these big pipes, like 30 foot tall. It was big, huge, not everything big in Texas.
Unbelievable.
We were on pipe pace, and I thought I was cool. And he just pipe paced me, just went up and slap, 11 o'clock, and just goes all the way down. Boom! Slammed right on his hip, just laying there.
I had a really good trip.
Not as Skip. Was there all day?
Oh, yeah. Skip was the guy.
Yeah, he was the best. And then his homie was the jail guy, the guy inmate next to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking, man, I never want to go to jail.
For our generation, that was so iconic and, like, such an epic. Did you, after you do that, did things change for you at all?
Well, yeah. I had just got my license or whatever, and I drove there alone. And then that happened, and then my board sold really good. And
was that the the Sun God board, or was it the
Neptune?
It was the Neptune one.
I had a Neil Blender shirt as a towel in there. Did you see that?
Yeah, Cranny pointed that out to me.
Sick. And then Nautilus's part was so sick, and he was skating a fire hose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was skating a Miniman, so that's kind of crazy, right?
Yep.
Went Miniman to fire hose, that was sick. And then we had to do, like, the voiceover thing for the weird dream scene. I went to his house.
Oh, right.
Which was pretty cool. It was in Malibu. It was really neat. I don't know. Life was different then because it was really mellow no matter what. There was no stress.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just... We're like, okay, you have to be there at this time. Where's your Thomas guide? And there was never like, oh my God, we got to do this right now. We have to hurry and go. Hurry faster, faster. Like, there was nothing. It was just like, if anything, I drove Neil Blender fucking crazy. Because I was like, let's go. Let's go do stuff. Let's go do something else.
Speaking of Neil, I was talking to Zarosh, and he pointed something out to me that I didn't know, which was you, Neil, and O recorded a song together. It was, We're Racing.
No, okay, so that was, it was Hago, Eddie, Glass, Hago Nigerium, and Neil Blender and me.
And you're singing on it?
Yeah, me and Neil. I have the 45, you want to see it? Yeah, that was at Trent's studio in, like, Fullerton, maybe?
Huh. The other thing is people always want to know about the,
A major deal in my life. And I relocated to Santa Cruz to find myself. My mind is a garden. I skateboard, but I'm an artist. I love art and I love you. Come to me and kiss me.
And that was Sturt, right?
Yeah, we did that in one day because Dan. I wanted Dan to do it because I liked working with Dan, right? Because everything he did was kind of next level feeling. Mm-hmm. And we got it done real quick. So I went down there. I drove down there with Dog, my friend Eric Fieber. He's the coolest. He's my favorite. He's one of my real close friends for my whole life. He works for Hout, and he's just the best. And his dad's my idol, 70s lowrider van painter, you know? Mm-hmm. We leave in my Ranchero, and I make Dog drive because, I, you know me, I pass out. When, yeah. So I fall asleep immediately, and he's so bummed because there's no heater. And it's like, it's like 30 degrees out, and we leave at 5 in the morning, and I have a chain steering wheel, so his hands are freezing. Like, just, I'm like, where did we put our, I was talking to him the other day, I'm like, where did we put all of our stuff? What did we do? Do we even have a sleeping bag? No. What, do we have any money? No. How the fuck? We didn't have credit cards. We just had some cash to get gas down there. So strange to me. We made it down there. Dan's like, I got it all figured out. Don't worry about it. Go tell Tony Roberts. He's in the hotel room in there. Just go tell him what you're going to do and blah, blah, blah. Knock on Tony's door and he's all. I remember him going, I saw you out there with the cops. I'm like, you know what? They're fine. I have to do this thing with Dan. We're not filming with you, but everything's cool. We're friends. Everything's fine. And then the next day we go right across the street to the, in Carlsbad where that windmill is. And Dan shows up with his tinfoil and he's like, you know, there's some videos that are out. You know, people think they're artists and this and that. Why don't you do this? I'm an artist. You know, just go with that.
Yeah.
And then Dog want you to put this on your face and make it look like your tinfoil face. And We did. We filmed it one shot. Like, done. Okay, cool. We're going to McGill's right now. Let's go. It's like 10 in the morning. I'm like, all right, let's do this. Got the little McGill's clips. And then, okay, let's go to La Jolla Shores. I'm like, sick. That's where my old girlfriend lives. Cool. Go there. That's where I fall in the three-step.
Oh, yeah.
Ollie. And then I think we went to a ditch, too, right?
What's Dog doing these days?
It's kicking ass, like pinstriping and painting, doing exactly what he's been doing his whole life.
Really?
He's the best.
Rad.
I talk to him all the time.
But you would skate the Kennedy Warehouse sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where I think I saw you for the first time in person.
Not that much, so I would go there sometimes.
I was there one day when you were there, for really? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
I probably went there a total of...
Not the second one, the first one that was just the spine and the vert ramp where people would try to hit the beam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I went there a total of 11 times, maybe.
Oh, really? Then you moved to Santa Cruz and that...
I was living in Santa Cruz then.
Yeah, okay.
So I moved to Santa Cruz in 1990.
90.
When I was 20 years old, yeah.
And you were living by...
26th Avenue.
Oh, yeah, by the Pleasure Point, right?
Yeah, we would surf Sewer Peak, and we hung out with Clifford and Dinsmore and Mike Nider and all the dudes from Blast, and it was super fun. Like, Kenny Cox, Dog, Dave Friel, it was sick. Everyone was cool. And then we would surf 26, Meekster ripped 26, and then even TR ripped.
Did you ever skate SoCal, or was it gone by
then? I've never been there yet.
Mm. Let's go to a question from Lance Mountain. He asked, Did you learn to ollie on a skateboard before or after you learned off the lips or whatever they're called on a surfboard?
Well, they are called off the lips. I learned how to ollie before I surfed. I skateboarded before I surfed, just like Christian Fletcher, Nathan Fletcher, Grayson Fletcher, Herbie Fletcher. They all skated before they surfed. And then I got my first surfboard from Christian Fletcher in fifth grade.
Did he teach you ollies or did you learn them together?
No, I learned ollies at this ramp down the street in Dana Point. Didn't hit my tail, just scooped it, you know? I just learned it. And we're both left-handed, but he's goofy foot and I'm regular. Steve Olsen's left-handed, so is Alex, I think.
Yeah.
So is Joey Touche.
You got a list of lefties.
It's kind of cool. Lance is the best. I used to go to Lance's. So much fun. It was the best time of my life.
Yeah,
ever.
I remember being a kid looking at like the Locket Lances in the mag and shit.
Ever.
Ever. The PAL videos.
So important. It was like Gregor Rankin was there, Lee Ralph, Chef Phillips, everybody, Nash, Juden, Eric Juden, everybody. It was the sickest meetup. But poor Yvette had to deal with a lot of phone calls and a lot of like nightmares. And then
his wife.
Yeah, and it was just neat.
Would Mark skate at Lance's?
Oh, yeah, Mark, of course. And Grosso one time set up like 8 to 10 Roscott boards. And I was like, man, how come you don't like them? I don't know. I just, they don't feel right. And now this one feels right. So he finally found the right one. And I was like, can I have one of your old ones? And he's like, yeah, I don't care. I took one. I was stoked.
You've never been one of those guys that like need to the perfect concave.
I don't know what that means. I don't know.
I don't know what that means either. There's guys out there like
Karma Toshif was that guy.
Really? Like a bottom press versus a top press?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know or care.
Gerwer tells me about it all the time because people call him for like, hey, I need some boards. He'll be like, you sent me a medium board, like or something. You're like, oh no.
I heard Reese Simpson told me once, he's like, if you're a you think you're a professional? I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, because you can't skate every board, any board. Take this board. Go grab Losey.
Right.
Go grab Alan Losey's board. Skate that. I was like, okay. And I would try it, and it's hard. But then once you can skate any board, like Mark Gonzalez, you're a true professional.
Huh.
And my first real board was an Alan Losey.
Alan Losey?
Yeah, I had three of them.
No way.
Yeah, and they were like weird material on the bottom, but it was that said Losey, and it had him doing, or it had a picture of a guy doing like a cracking off on the O or something.
Sick.
It was my favorite board.
He was, I think he was the first pro I saw in person. He was at Upland. I met him with Darren like years ago, and I was like, hey, you were the first pro I met. Like, he's going to care or something. But it was
rad. I mean, I'm sure he did care,
Yeah, but it was just like, you know, I was just like...
He's cool.
Putting it all together. Talk about, didn't you bring Mark over for the first time to your house and he kind of blew your mom's mind or something? Like,
yeah, she loved him, though. She loved him because he was in... My mom's a super... She's fascinated by human behavior and she's really intelligent and... She just thought he was special. Like, uh-huh. Special as in, like, this guy, your friend's very, he's destined for greatness.
He's going to do something.
Yeah, and then she was telling me this, and then he's like, do you know what time it is? And I was like, yeah, it's right there. Okay, but do you know what time it is? And I was like, it says it right there. And he's like, so what time is it? I was like, well, it's... like 7:40, it says it right there, 7:40, and he's like, oh, okay, thanks. And I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't know how to tell time. And then he's like, can you read this letter to me? And I was like, really? And, okay. And I read it to him and he's like, thanks. I was like, oh man, that's crazy, maybe he doesn't know how to read. And then I told my mom later and she's like, yeah, because he's one of those gifted kids that is gonna blow everyone's mind with other things. But then he went to Orange Coast College and learned how to read and write.
Fuck.
And he is from Southgate, Tweedy Boulevard, and my dad had a gunite crew that lived right around the corner from his house.
And so Tweedy Boulevard, he wrote a script and you happen to have one of two copies or
one
something?
Of three, maybe three copies. I don't know, but I cherish it.
Yeah, because then like, you're safe.
Yeah,
I love it. That is.
You're the first person to take it out of the sealed plastic.
Ooh, I did not like that.
That was crazy.
We had to take a photo of it for Thrasher, and Jason was like, hey, take it out. And I was like, wait, what? This is, like, worth...
He's so fantastic. Like, he's such a fantastic person and friend, even. You know, you meet so many people that are, like, kind of just rotten. But you don't want to hate him, or you don't want to, like... You just don't want to be around him. But his charisma, it's like, you just want to be around him as much as you can, and that drains his life source.
Right.
I don't have to see him for 30 fucking years, and it's the same.
Yeah.
If I see him.
Let's talk about Andy a little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting rowdy, he's got a couple questions for you, actually.
Nice.
He says, Andy Roy, by the way, he says, first off, I love you, Jason, homies for life. Thank you for keeping skateboarding tough. You are my hero. He wants to hear the story about you picking Jay Adams up from jail.
Oh. I fucking love Andy so much. I love Andy when I tell people that some people that just don't know if they love him or not. They're like, okay. But I fucking love Andy. He's always been solid. I've never had a doubt about him in my life. And I'm sure some people have because I've, you know.
Yeah.
But he's real. And so anyways, because Jay Adams showed up at my fucking, I was somewhere and he pulled up and he goes, what's up, Jason? Where the fuck is Andy Roy? Someone told me I have to find Andy Roy because you're too boring. I got to find Andy. I was like, what? I go home and I just want to kick it and work on shit. And he's like, yeah, I know. We want to fuck shit up. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. I don't want to. Yeah. And so I told him, showed him where, gave him his number or some shit. But anyways, one day I get a call from jail in Santa Cruz, right? And luckily I answered the phone. I was at work when we were doing the consolidated thing for a minute. And it's all, you have a collect call from Jay Adams. Okay, cool. Hey, what's up? Pick me up at 4:30 or 5. All right, I'll be there. Picked him up. He gets out. He comes out fucking with, you know, combs. You break the teeth out of the comb.
Oh, yeah.
And he had him push through his eyebrows. Two black ones. He's all shaved head. Looks so fucking maniac. And he's like, what's up? And he's like, hug me. He's like, thank you. This and that. I'm like, what the fuck is in your eyes? And he's like, all the fucking sardines fucking told me to push. Do that. You have to, you know, and like put that through your eyes and fucking crazy. I just, you know, you have to out crazy everyone in there, I guess.
Yeah.
Ready to stop at the liquor store real quick to get whatever. Maybe just, I have no idea what. But he talked shit to these dudes out front, and then he right away he told me he was just kidding and shook all their hands. He's all, blah, 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 just kidding, Jay Adams. And he shook their hands. And I was like, fuck. And then he's all right, take me down to the flats. And I was like, I can't drive my truck down there. I will get fucking rat packed. I cannot go down those streets. And so he goes, okay, drive me off here. I'll meet you here in 15 minutes. So I went, okay. Came back exactly 15 minutes. He was standing right there. Then we went to Consolidated. He had a cast on his leg. You know, one of those ones you can Velcro on. He had a broken ankle.
Uh-huh.
He had something, you know, and he started smoking it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what it was. And I realized what it was, and I was like, damn. My heart broke. I was like, oh, shoot. And he tore the cast off. Threw it down the stairs and fucking jumped down the entire stairs and fucking was like, yeah, I feel good. Fucking signed the wall, and that's the one I put in that board. I cut out the wall that he signed.
Yeah.
And it's all suicidal psycho. He's my fucking idol, though.
Damn.
And he's all, don't ever do that. And I was like, I don't even know what it was, but I don't like it. And he's all, I was just getting samples to take down south. It's like, okay, that's cool. And then I had some boards and he signed them for me, the old SMA ones and blah, blah, blah. And then we called Christian and Fletcher and he's like, can you take me the Greyhound? And I was like, yes, please. And I got him a Greyhound ticket to LA. And I remember I waited with him and he was talking to some dude that was in jail with him. And he's like, yeah, it's harder to kick methadone than heroin. He's like, fuck methadone. When I want to stop, I'll stop. And he did. When he wanted to, he stopped. But I was like, so, I mean, this is just real talk, right? I'm not going to candy coat this because it was real and I saw it. And he definitely told me, do not ever fuck with this shit. And I never will and have. And I remember driving home. And it took me an hour to drive home instead of 20 minutes. And I was just bawling. I was fucking so sad. I remember being really sad and just crying. Like getting home and telling Heather, man, I just saw some stuff I didn't want to see, but I love the guy more than anything. I was like, he means so much to me, you know, because I learned so much. He taught me consideration, common courtesy, like even in the water, like if we were going to surf or skateboard somewhere. You know, and the first time I met him, I beat it, like his old lady beat me up, like bit my leg, fucking socked me. And I had to grab her hair at Del Mar when I was like 14. She's drunk and on PCP, maybe. I don't know what. So my first meeting him, she fell into this truck bumper, broke her nose. And then Dan Stewart goes, I called the cops. I go, why would you ever call the cops? He goes, hey, you'll see. So the cops show up and she's all fucked up. And she bit my leg. Like, I was bloody.
Fuck.
She fucked me up.
Right.
Yeah. And so cop show up and Dan Stewart goes, I'm the one that called. Went straight to Dan, grabs me and goes, she attacked him and she's out of her mind. And she was. Put her in jail, put her in the car, left. Last thing she says is, Jay Maniac Adams is gonna fucking kill you, Jason Jesse. And I was like, oh, I'm in doom. I'm in trouble. My brothers love that guy and he's scary. So he shows up 2 weeks later. I'm looking for Jason Jesse. And I'm like, guilty. I'm the guy. I'm here. What are you going to do? Like, I'll just deal with it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, what's up? Hey. He's all, and he's spray painting on the ground while he's holding me in a headlock. and he's like, don't worry. It's nothing I wouldn't have done to her. And I was like, I didn't. Okay. Thank you. And he's like, it's fine, let's hang out. You skate, fuck yeah. Nice to meet you. You surf too. Where are you from? And all this stuff. And I was like, I fucking love this guy. And he didn't even want to hear my side. He didn't care. He's all, I know she's fucked up. She's a psycho. But I was like, wow, I love this dude. He's like my fucking idol. Like, and he just wanted to skate and he surfed. And then Hawaii. And then he let me stay at his house in Hawaii. He gave me a Nova to drive. Britt lived at Brian Surratt's house, fucking ripped. Everyone on the North Shore loved him, apparently.
Those surf clips you have of him are so heavy.
So crazy.
He's a fucking charger.
Yeah, and he got this, it's just, it's just wild. All of it. Up until getting him out of jail, and then I was just like, damn it, man. I love this guy so much, and I was sad. But he's going to be fine, and then he was fine. And then we got to do more stuff with him later. We went to Hawaii with Christian, and we got to hang out with him. And he's like, I'll be back in 20 minutes or 20 years. And he fucking comes back, and his car's mangled the next day. And he's all fucking 20 pounds of cocaine in the trunk. And I fucking spun out right and went up on the fucking eight shit. Got it back on the road and passed a cop and made it home.
What the fuck?
And he was a maniac.
Yeah, absolutely.
That suitcase we took to my warehouse?
Yeah.
There's a manila envelope in there of
letters he wrote you from jail? Prison.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably 35 of them.
Fuck. Sick. Why is it that Dan Sturt sent all his photos to you after they were used?
I don't know. He's my friend.
That's amazing. Like every photo that he would send to Thrasher, he would write on the back of it, send to Jason Jesse after you scan this or use it, right?
Yeah, because he was my friend, and when he first moved here, we met in Palmdale at the Palmdale contest where I was wearing ladies. Like I was wearing Madonna pants, and me and Mark Gonzalez went shopping at Contempo Casuals, and we wore girl clothes, and we skated, and I did a Madonna at that contest, and it was all like a virgin. And then Dan Sturt was this really interesting, weird dude. Not weird, but just very weird. And so I was like, do you need a place to stay? You can stay in our hotel room. You can stay in my room with us on wherever. And he slept on the floor. And then he said, because of that, he said, I was the first guy that was super friendly to him. I love the guy. If I had $20, I'd give him 19 of it if he didn't have any money, like, and I didn't, you know, or I'd split it with him, like,
right.
He was just really neat.
How did that day go about that you and Arto took the photo to Atiba? Well, it was like Arto, a Matt Hensley, right. Photo, right?
Yeah, the hat photo. Yeah. It's the only print. It's, yeah, the only one. The negative's destroyed.
Uh-huh.
And the print Dan gave me, it was the one in the magazine. That's what got Atiba into taking photos. So Arto told me, you have that print? And I was like, yeah, I have a whole bunch of Dan stuff. And I showed him, and he's like, can I blow that print up for Atiba, because he got me into photography? And I was like, yeah, you can have it. And he's like, no, you keep it, it's worth a lot of money, let's make a perfect copy. So Arto probably spent some cash to get it blown up properly and framed and everything.
Yeah.
And then we gave it to him, and it was just so cool. Atiba was so,
it was like a surprise.
Yeah, and Arto is so sweet, and I love shit like that.
Yeah.
And Dan loves Arto, like loves him.
Yeah, because he spent a lot of time with Arto and Rolly.
Yeah, and he saw him when he almost died, all sorts, yeah, of bad stuff. And so then I knew that I was going to get shit. So, but it didn't matter, because the good outweighed the bad. Because Dan just had taken a photo of Dwayne doing a going air, an indie air. So I'm like, you leave skateboarding for that many years and you come back with that once, come on. So I was like, I feel good enough to do this. So Tebow was stoked, Arto was stoked, I was so stoked, Charno was there, yeah. Granny. And then my phone started ringing at 4:30 the next morning, until I finally answered it at 12:30 in the afternoon, because he wouldn't stop calling me 157 times. And then when I answered it, of course, he told me exactly, he knew right away. And he told me exactly why and everything. And I said, wait, before you hang up on me, because he will. 2 hours later, I'm like, all I got to say is I love you. I'm sorry. I love you, though. And so that's the bottom line. And then he's like, yeah, well, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, is it because of the Dwayne photo, huh? And I go, yeah. He goes, click. I knew he was going to do that.
What about the time you ran into him for the first time in a long time? Remember at Encinitas in, like, a Walgreens, and he, like,
shut the door down. Shut the whole store down.
Dude, tell that story.
That was the sketchiest story. He walks in, sees me. I was with Kit, and he's like, looks at her. Are you with him? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, all right. Like, nobody move. And he looks so gnarly, right? Then they fucking ran and locked the doors and shit. And then he just was like, what are you doing here? Like, it was just, like, you know, I blocked that story out because it was so scary.
I remember that because we met the next day and you're telling me the story, and then he showed up again
and we talked about it.
Yeah,
that was heavy.
Yeah,
but they shut the fucking the store down, and the stuff he said was amazing. This isn't a robbery, but nobody move, like, just fucking, you know how he does it.
No, Andy says, what's the raddest lamb you ever taken?
All of them.
They're all equal.
Yeah, and they're all pretty similar. Right when you slam, it hurts so bad for just a second, right? And then your endorphins kick in and block it all out. So you can jump up. You can get up and immediately, and it's no matter what. For some reason, when people slam and they can't move, and then 2 minutes later, they're walking and entering the next run. They're doing McTwists or whatever.
Yeah.
That's all weird to
me. Just adrenaline, huh?
I think it's just fake. Even if you break shit, you can still do it. I broke my arm and we still did that. You can break stuff and still have the adrenaline to pull it off till the next day or something.
Have you ever broken your rib?
Yeah, that shit will stop you. Because when you can't breathe... So I was feeling my ribs last night, and I have ribs stacked on ribs.
That's what mine feels like, too.
Yeah, it's weird.
Fuck.
Gut was there one day. Remember when I broke it at the Hall of Meat?
Oh, at the Goat Bowl.
Yeah, with Olsen laughed. I love that.
Oh, my God.
That was a hard one to breathe.
Oh, yeah. Eric J. said he gave you the notebook that you were on the airplane when you got fucking...
Yeah,
that the notebook Eric J. gave you?
Yes, the pocket partner. But it looked like pocket pussy, so I changed it to Suicide Bomber, which is skateboarding down hills in San Francisco. It was a song.
And what was the story there? You've told it a million times, but there was like a country guy sitting next to you or something?
Yeah, well, let's take a break.
Okay, yeah. We'll be right back after this coffee break.
That was from Denver to San Jose. Denver's a sketchy-ass airport.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now for another First Impressions with Timothy Donald McKenney.
First Impressions, like I said, is my favorite song in a skate video. It's Paranoid Chant. Went to your part. Like I said, I've been waiting for World War III since that goddamn song in your part, kid. Hell yeah. Minutemen, this is one of the sickest parts and songs to this day. Actually, my major impression of what a genius you were was your other part, your street part, where you're acting like Salvador Dali, and your mind's a garden, you're making tinfoil faces a homeboy. That was the best part ever. You didn't have to even skate. You just sat there with your robe on and talked about, hi, you found me. It's so hard to find me. Love you, dude.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue D, Plate. 1831
Market
Street.
At Guerrero, as in Tommy. Come see us. Real,
meatloaf,
anti-hero,
fried
crooked,
chicken,
thunder,
deviled
venture,
eggs,
spitfire.
Dollar Olympia
we're here
beers.
Every day of the week, except
every
the big
the
holidays.
We've got
a curb, and we've got
smiles
on our faces.
Come let us get you
stoked.
Jesse and Sarah Silverman. Sarah Silverman's first show.
Sarah Silverman stuck cannabis in her vagina on Instagram the other day.
The first Sarah Silverman show was the best. The rest, I don't care.
True or false, you've never worn the same socks twice?
Up until a certain time, yeah. So before it was the Mexi Mall, you go and you get 10 pairs for $7. So you get 7 pairs of socks and give 3 away to your friends. And what better gift is that when your homies show up and you're like, hey, you want some socks? And they're like, oh, hell yeah. Like every single, it's like the only other the only person I've ever given chonies to is Baca.
Oh.
I'm like, hey, you want some new chonies? He's like, hell yeah.
Remember when we went on that trip to Ojai and Cranny put chonies in all of our bags? Like he snuck a pair of chonies in each of our travel bags before the trip. And we woke up and we're like, what the fuck? Where'd these underwear come from? And Cranny was like, ah! So how did you become the first and only white boy in Dukes?
I forced my way in. I was like, Manuel Cervantes, I met him at a car show and I was like, hey, what's up here in the Duke? Sick, I have a 54 Chevy too. And he's like, all right, cool, I'll talk to you later. And I'm like, oh no, homie, I want to get in the Duke so bad. Yeah, okay, let's see your car. And he's like, oh, yeah, no. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have to get in, that's my dream. He's like, Weto, what the fuck? And so I just would not let up. And he's like, okay, let's go to a meeting. I'll take you to a meeting. So him and Oscar Munoz took me to a Dukes meeting when I was 20. And I went for like 6 months or a year or whatever to all their stuff. And then they voted on me. And the only one that didn't vote for me was Gilbert. Yeah, I love Gilbert. I talk to him all the time. He's my homie. He's doing the Danny Way documentary. He's part of it. His brother is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's going to jump the wall, jump into Mexico at Imperial Beach. And his brother's going to film it. But, maybe I wasn't supposed to say that, but who cares? Anyways, Gilbert, I saw him not too long ago, and I was like, Gilbert, what the fuck, hey? You're the only one that voted against me, because when I came back in the meeting, they're all, Chewy's like, all right, so you didn't make it. And I was just like, damn, all right, that's cool. At least I tried, and it was worth it. And they're like, nah, we're just playing. You made it, but one guy didn't vote on you. And I'm like, damn, who, Gilbert? And they're like, yeah, because you ain't Chicano. And I was like, what? But I got heart. Second white cholo on skateboarding. and then they let me in. And it's 25 years.
What's worse, a weak suck or a common dandy?
Ooh, well, in California, a weak suck would be the worst. A common dandy would be something British. And if you're in Britain and someone says, you common dandy, common dandy, I wouldn't know how to react. But but in California, someone goes, you weak suck. You know what? You're a real yahoo. Someone told me that once, and I was like, take it back. And they're like, never. And I was like, first of all, a weak suck is a poor vacuum. Like, if you have a poor vacuum line on your car, on your old Chevy or any poor vacuum, like on a vehicle, is gonna run like shit. So you run like shit. 3 on the tree. If you have a weak suck on that, what the fuck? Your life's stupid. So I was like, well, that's worse than telling someone to fuck off or your family all die in Chinese, like Dile La Mao or Humga Chan, your you like, you don't want to hear any of that. It's worse than anything. Like, your mom's a fucking whore. I'd be like, that's cool, but you're a weak suck. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm not kidding. That's how it's taken. And like, you know what? You're a real yahoo. Like, what? A real yahoo? That means I'm not very much fun. So when you call people that, it's not a bad word, but it's the worst insults that hurt. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? Like, you call me a rojo joto? I'm not a fucking verde joto. I'm not fucking that.
Have you ever gotten a fight with somebody and pantsed them?
I have, and Cranny witnessed it, and I have a few times actually, and he thought I was a liar, which I'm sick of telling my stories to my close friends, confiding in my friends and saying like, yeah, we did this, it was sick. And they're like, oh, that would be sick if that really happened. And I'm like, what? It happened right here.
Huh.
Right down the street, pants the guy. And then I go, let's go back to the house and wait till the cops show up. Because we pantsed them. The guy was like 6'4". He was driving us crazy. He was like a fucking tweaker. kicking it in his car for like a week and a half, but he's like a local guy. But you know what? We were finally like fed up with it. The cops were there talking to him. We rode our bikes over there. Cops are talking to him. I'm like, fucking beat it, pigs. We were yelling shit like that. Cops leave. We start shooting fireworks at the dude's car. So we were egging him on because we were bored. And then, and we wanted to talk to him about like, hey, man, quit parking there for so long.
Right.
You have your feet out the window, dirty socks. Beat it. My kid drives down there, sees dirty socks. That's gross. Like, and so then cops leave, and he's still there, so we shoot fire. We shoot Roman candles at his car and shit. And then he gets out like, what the fuck? So we blast a mortar at him. And then he starts running at me, right? And then I'm like, cool. So I kneel down, and I have this super bright flashlight. And he gets like 10 feet away from me, and I turn it on his face. And he's just blinded. And he's like, ah! And he turns around, and I'm just dove and pants his basketball shorts. They went right to the ground, right? And I kneeled down and shined it at his butt. And I went, cool butt. And Cranny started laughing so hard. And then he pulls him up, starts running. And I start running after him, try to pull him again. He's holding him so tight. He will not let him go down. I was fucking dying. And he says, call the cop. Call 911 to his girlfriend.
Was in the car or something?
Yeah, call 911. Right then, I just buckled. I was like, call 911. You got pants? Like, who the fuck calls? Okay, so then me and Cranny, we leave. But before we leave, Cranny just told me the other day, he goes, you remember before we left that you told me, Michael, shine the light on my back. And I was wearing my Chinese dragon silk robe.
Yeah.
And he shined it on my back, and I was pointing with my thumbs, like, look at that. That's a dragon. You want me to show? You've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And then and the guy looked like, what? And then we left, and then we waited on the porch, like, hopefully the cops will show up so we can tell them. But then later I thought, you know what, Cranny? They could show up and be like, you attempted to rape a 6'4 man. And I was like, we could get in trouble. I didn't. You saw I didn't get a boner, right? And he's like, yeah. No. He's like, you didn't have a boner. And I was like, right? You didn't either. And he's like, no, I know. We both didn't. And I'm like, okay. So at least we have that, and we're witnesses. So then these sketchy fools show up in my driveway, and this guy gets out, this Tiger King tweaker, and he's like yelling for his fucking dog, what fake dog. And I'm like, oh, you lost your dog? What's your dog's name? Michael? And he's like, lost my dog. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, if I see it, let me know. Who are you? I'll bring him to your house. Or I would just say, no, your dog's on this property? It's my dog. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rename him, and I'm going to walk him. He kind of like backpedaled, gets in the car, truck drives away. I follow him. He pulls over. I look in. He has like some big ass fucking dude in the truck, some dude in the back, and then him. And I go, you didn't lose a fucking dog. What's really going on? Okay, well, here's what's up. This guy right here, you know him? Does he look familiar? I go, no. Does he look familiar? Look at him. I'm like, no. He looks like, no, I don't know. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, he got attacked. He got jumped by like 6 cholos. And they were in a truck like the one we saw on your property. And you guys were riding like BMX bikes like the one we saw on your property. I'm like, okay, so you did your detective work. So cool. Don't ever do that again. But now if I hear of anything, I'll let you know, right? Leave. People over at the farm, they're telling me, hey, that guy, whatever, got attacked. Do you know anything about it? Yeah, he got pantsed. And one of the guys... Jeff's like cracking up because I knew it was you. You know, that's funny. So then I see this fool about a week later kicking it in his truck, his little whatever SUV with his girlfriend. And I pull up next to him and I go, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey. I go, you're the one that got a jump by the cholos, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, no, you didn't. You got pantsed. And his face went, what? And I drove away. And I haven't seen him since.
Wow. That's amazing. I know Cranny was telling me about that. I was just cracking up. Like,
but it all started with my cousin Johnny, like, years ago, where I'm like, you know what, Johnny? Fuck this. You know, people fucking want to fight you. You fuck them up. Then you have these knives on you and guns and shit. What the fuck? Like, we're going to go to prison. Like, we need a better tactic. And so then I go, how about spanking people? So in San Francisco, we pulled over on bikes and This dude walks up and starts talking shit to us. And I go, watch. I swung him around and spanked him. Like a public spanking.
Right.
And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I just went for it. Like, he'll probably kick the shit out of me. Who cares? So that was the beginning of like, he's like, you're on to something. And I'm like, yeah. So if the dude starts fucking socking me in the head, I'll pants him. I'll get his belt loop. I'll get his belt off and his pants down. And how embarrassing is that? Because your wiener looks stupid. Like, you have to be prepared. And you have to be, like, proud stage. And so then Johnny's like, that's a good idea. And so that's where it stemmed from. And we did it a few times. And I would tell Cranny about it. Like, you know what? Don't ever fight anyone. Because, you know, you punch someone, they punch you back. You just feel like a dick. And then you're like, yeah, I really fucked that guy up. And then he's like, I really fucked that guy up. And then you feel bad. Like,
yeah,
immediately. But if you pants someone and the guy's like, here's the other thing. Let's say you pants a guy and he turns around, steps out of the shorts, and it backfires on you. And he says, yeah, you want these off? And he takes his shirt off. And he kicks the shit out of you naked. That's the only way you have to be careful. Like, some people may be ready for it. So at this point, I just don't even care.
Dude, Andy was telling me the story. I was like, what's up with the Snuggle Bandit? And he's like, oh, I don't even go to jail anymore. But you know what you got to do is you got to jump into bed with guys.
Before.
And then you find out where they stand. Because they might push you out like they're pissed, but they might pull you in. And then you know what kind of guy they are.
Okay. So, yeah, my friend's brother, who's super scary, was like, you know Spider? And I'm like, no, I don't know Spider. And he's like, yeah, I was locked up with him. He has a spider web tattooed on his head. And I'm like, oh, Andy, guy, you want a junior?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. He goes, yeah, he skateboards. He knows you. And I'm like, oh, yeah. He goes, dude, that dude scares the shit out of everyone. He would be in bed before, he would sneak in people's bed before they got there. And so when they would get in bed, these are like some crazy-ass fucking hard-ass criminals. And then he would like hug him like, you want to snuggle? And they would fucking launch out of their bunk. And then he would go into the showers and he would call out people's names like, hey, so-and-so, I dropped the soap. And so he'd get the showers to himself. He's a genius. That's just like, you got to like,
yeah,
that's like real survival skills.
All right. This one I know nothing about and I'm anxious to hear about it. It's the Jackie Chan movie story.
So, like in 92 or 3 or something, we got invited to go to Hong Kong and do a Jackie Chan movie with. I got picked. And then.
What, like as skaters? Like you on skateboarding in the movie?
Yeah. And there was Javante, Andy Howell, Justin Gerard, that one little miserable guy, like super grumpy, Henry Sanchez, poor guy. Rick Ibaceta, the best. So I was like, this is gonna be sick. And it was super fun, but I had a meltdown and was like, I gotta get out of here. I go, this, first of all, he broke his ankle the first.
Jackie Chan?
Yeah, the first like week or two we were in it.
Skating?
Yeah, by himself. He bombed this hill and his handlers, he turned his ankle on one of the handlers and broke his ankle. And I knew at that point, I was like, oh, we're gonna be here for a long time and we're not gonna get paid. So I was like, hey, my grandma died, I need to go home now. And the dude Ian, I think, but and Kent from FTC was there. He's the best.
No way.
Yeah, so it was sick. Like, it was just rad, all these rad people. And then I just got out early and thank God, because I was having, that was someone pulling in and turning that around.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I had to get out because I was having like super gnarly homesick. I was homesick.
Hmm.
But that was so fun. Hold on, one sec.
There's like a little car and then a dog or something. What? He has like a little white car turned around.
But for the record, Javante Turner's 360 kickflips are nothing to even fuck with. They're the best. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He could just do those on a dime, and they're this, boom, and then right up to his. And then Rick Ibaceta was He's the best. He's just a sweetheart. I love that guy.
Rad. Yeah, I want to get Rick on here, actually. I seen him at Blue Plate one night.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
We got a couple questions from Granny. He just called in.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Michael Jacobs. Hi. Jacob. Forced in science. Granny, question here. Let me get your... I mean, I'm sure there was so many, but top Casper moment. Corey Chrysler, a.k.a. Big Casper. I don't know. I'm sure there's so many, but would you say that one of your top moments in live TV live persona with him was?
Okay, so wait. Every morning at 7:30, when he worked at Monterey Bay Academy right here, he would wake me up at 7:30 perfectly on the dot because it was back right bumper would scrape, and it would go. It was insane, and then. So I would be like, that was my alarm every day. Get up, go to work, whatever, go to, you know, Santa Cruz, Consolidated, whatever that thing was, and then hang with Moish, basically. And then when I get home, I would see him passing me, or he would three-wheel to my house. But there's probably a lot more than that. I mean, I know what he wants to hear. There's one, but he was the best.
Let's see what else he's got, then.
There's a lot of
really killer, shiny fucking Vato shoes a lot.
Stacey Adams.
And they're all fucking look cool on you. They look terrible on me. What's your favorite pair of shoes you own?
Stacey Adams.
And to boot with the shoes, because that's important when you're low riding and you got your fucking cars and shit. What's your favorite car that you own right now?
Oh, sick. 30.
That you own.
Yes.
Okay, love you. Bye bye.
Hi. 39 Chevy Master.
Stacey Adams shoes?
Yeah, Stacey Adams patent leathers are black and white, and then Dickies and Pendleton. And
what's the cologne that goes with the Stacey Adams? Are we going Gucci by Gucci, or are we going Tom Ford?
You could do that. Gucci by Gucci, Tom Ford, Black Orchid's good. we got Spice Bomb by Rolls.
And then what's the car?
39 Chevy Master Deluxe.
See what this last one is.
Quick fucking Bonsai Pipeline, North Shore, Oahu, cuz. What's a fond memory of Hawaii you have, and then also a scary one? I'd love to hear some of your Hawaii stories, because you have that royalty of hookups out there with the Fletchers and the Hui and the boys, Perry Dane, all those fucking radical dudes, Marvin Foster. Dudes I was scared of as a kid.
Come on,
let's hear it. If you would like to disclose any of that information, my name is James Coop.
Yeah. The best is just getting is just surfing V-Land or Backdoor with Perry Dane and Christian, and back before it was 700 people and before the Brazilians took over completely. But like 30 or 40 people out, and then Perry would just tell everyone to go inside. And then we would surf Backdoor or V-Land alone. And Backdoor was the best, because if it was overhead, you don't have to worry about anyone. You just drop in and get barreled. And then Christian was like, you need to put on the brakes. Like, you have to lift the nose up. So when you drop in, you don't do a bottom turn or anything. And you just drop in barely, put the brakes on, and you just get barreled. And it was the best. And then I watched Perry Dane get in a fight with these three dudes. And we were driving. I was driving, and I was with Heather, Scout's mom. She was born with, like, this thing called bitch face where she just can't help it. She just looks like a, like someone, like, who stepped in dog shit face? Like, so, anyways, but Perry, these dudes fucking did pull some shit. He got out and kicked all three of them in the face. And, like, fucking just socked a few, and they were like mokes, they were gnarly. And then they were like, oh fuck, it's Perry Dane. And then they kind of just were like, okay, cool, we're cool. And they're like, he just fucking went rowdy. And I remember being like, wow, this is insane. Like, he just does, it's the Wild West in the 90s and shit. And he's the guy that called up Quicksilver and said, oh, you want your guys to surf here? Fuck that. They're all going home unless you pay me and put me on Quicksilver, and then all your guys can surf here. So they're like, all right, you're on. Here's your money. He's the king. And he's the guy that jumped on the back of tiger sharks and with a bang stick. Like 15-foot, 18-foot tiger sharks.
Oh, shit.
And he drove Monte Carlos. Then some stuff happened with his neighbor, and it was just crazy. But the North Shore was dangerous.
Fuck, yeah.
When I was like 18, Christian Fletcher, we went to this... to the town, and he met this girl, and she was a stripper, and so we had to go to a strip club, and that was like the first time I went to a strip club, and all I could stare at was the people's eyes that were watching the vaginas and stuff, and I was like, man, that's crazy. They look, you know, like when people are mating, and if your keys are in one of your friend's pocket, and you're like, hey, I need to go, but they're mating, they want to like bite you or something. They're like, they would just fuck, get the fuck out. Like, they're just crazy mating thing. And so I'm like, fuck, these people are all in mating mode and they're just gross. I'm out of here. I go, Christian, I'm leaving. I'm gonna go back to the North Shore. I'm gonna go back to his house. He lived at the top floor of Jerry Lopez's. So I took a cab out there, and I didn't have any money, but I was so freaked out. I like to go to bed early and I didn't party. So, and Christian would eat mushrooms and smoke pot and drink beer and do acid at the same time. And then I just wanted to go home, but he's my best friend. So I got a ride in a cab by this huge moke, you know, like just like bad motherfucker. Like, but he was cool too. It sucked. And then right when I got close, I'm like, this is good. And I got out and just ran. And he chased me. And I could feel him breathing on the beach. I was running in the sand and just breathing forever. And then I finally lost him and then got to the house, and it was all dark, and got inside, and there was the rats were like 2 feet long, and I was like rodents of unusual size. I was like, why did I even come here? Why, this is more scary alone than being with the scary creeps and Christian.
Yeah.
And then I seen him the next day, and it was, everything was cool. I don't even think I told him, but there are a whole bunch. There's so many stories that you just have to keep to yourself or amongst your friends. You don't want to go public with, because then the feds will try to acquire some type of a case against you later or something.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen anybody like that you thought was dead, like surfing, like in some big ass wave, just eating shit, and you're just like, oh, that guy's done?
I don't, not really.
So those are gnarly waves out there.
Yeah, but they're so, I mean, there's caves and rocks underneath pipeline, and I watched my friend Job get fucked up. My brother's almost died a few times. Oh, surfing inside Sunset was the scariest. Okay, so I saw Buttons. Okay, Sunset is the, it's, I don't like Sunset, it's scary. If you surf Sunset, you're a gnarly, you are a very good surfer. But the inside surfer, inside Sunset, even if it's only like head high, it's like a washing machine and you can't get out of it. One time I saw, me and Christian saw Buttons at Foodland, and he was cleaning his car out in the afternoon. The next morning, we seen him cleaning his car out, still organizing it. I was like, damn, he's up. He's been doing this. And then an hour later, I seen him run by the house, and Christian's like, what's up? Buttons, I'm going out right now. And it was huge. It was fucking maxing at Sunset. And I seen him paddle out. He was out there so fast. Like, this is how amazing that guy was. Buttons was my favorite surfer in the world. And he caught probably 10 or 15 waves. Just tore the shit out of him. And then came in and hung out with us for a minute. And then took off. And I was like, Buttons, I saw you at Foodland yesterday. And then this morning. And he's like, yeah, I was organizing my car. I was like, this dude is my fucking favorite. Like,
rad.
And then Marvin Foster, too. I really like.
How long were you out there?
I would just...
Or just go for trips?
Yeah, and then Christian obviously introduced me to the people that matter, and then they don't forget. You just get to know people, you know.
Yeah.
And Jay lived there. He lived at Brian Surratt's house, and we stayed at Jerry Lopez's house.
Oh, so damn.
That was where Christian, or Herbie, owned the top floor.
Oh.
So it was really...
That's like the Volcom house now, right? Or the Ruka house or something. Yeah.
So we went back with a Converse trip with Baca and those guys, and it's just a different dynamic now.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
First time listener, long time caller. That's what we got. Zarosh.
Hey, what's up, Schmidt Talk? This is Zarosh. Jason, hi. Met you in San City when you used to come skate with the Salinas boys in the 1990s. And want to thank you for being a genuine motherfucker, having the courage to be yourself. And wanted to know why you never left skateboarding behind. Like, how is it always, like, it's just a toy? Like, how have you never abandoned it?
How do you answer that? You don't fake it. You take it to your whole life. You just, what else do I know? I don't know anything else. I have no other skills. Nothing impresses me but skateboarding. I got started at such a young age of adrenaline. Let's say you start jogging at 12. Well, I start skateboarding at 10, and every day of my whole life, skateboarding, surfing, how can you stop? You can't. Your body's, it's a pattern that your brain is already like. If I don't skateboard or exercise or surf or anything like that for a week or two, or when you're injured, you start losing your mind.
You go into depression.
Yeah, and then you're just like kind of a dick, and it's just, Zarosh is the best. I love Zarosh. Oh, that's a great question, and it could be answered for 4 hours.
This one is, I kind of know the answer to it, but Tim McKinney, he really wanted to ask you this.
This is a big question for me. Actually, I'm a little winded. I was just skating out in front of Target and Ceremony. I'm rusty, dude. You don't skate for a month. You might as well have not skated 16 years, it seems like, guys. This one's for a legend, Jason Jesse, and it's, I didn't skate for 16 years. First impression is that cover. And how stoked you were when somebody threw it at you. I think it would be Greg. But anyways, whoever threw that at you, that look in your face, I've had that same look. Asian kid at the skate shop threw my Transworld down cover. I didn't know that was coming out of Pete Thompson. You know, and nobody told me. And I had that same damn look on my face. So I want the world to know what that felt like when you had no idea that was coming and that mag was thrown down. That Thrasher cover was thrown down in your 40s, kid. I fucking love you, and I'll say it till the day I die. I fucking love you, and you're a legend. That's it. That's it. That's my question for you. What did that feel like, kid?
I know. I was kind of stoked. I never had it, right?
Yeah.
Going, oh, shit. Like, this is the best, worst day of my life.
Yeah.
Like, what now? That was real. You filmed that.
Yeah.
That was heavy. And then, like, so stoked. Like, fuck yes. And then this is gonna have, this is not an easy earn.
Yeah.
Like, I have not paid for this yet. And then the following year I definitely paid for it, and it was worth it. That was the best.
He said that
best day of my life, though. Even Jake knowing, and Jake was alive, I had knee pads on. Thank you, Jake.
Tim said he went in, he was coming out of Fausto's office one day, and you were going in, and I think it was the last day, like, Tim rode for Think. He was just over skating or whatever, and he told Fausto, and Fausto was just like, good luck, man, whatever, like, you know, he had to do, he was just over it. But you were going in, and I think that possibly that was when you were talking to Fausto about possibly doing a company together.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know about that.
No, that was the best. Fausto was the coolest ever, and he was just like, what do you want to do? And he's like, you want to get involved in Think? And he pointed out his window at it, and I was like, man, or something new, or maybe we could go through Think, but I really want to go through Deluxe. And he was like, well, it's not going to happen. My maturity level at that time was not there, you know? There was a lot going on in my life. And that was the heaviest meeting I've ever had in my life.
I bet.
I mean, sitting there talking to Fausto, and he's telling you, what do you want to do? You can do whatever you want. Let me know.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, oh, okay. I wish you could have just told me what to do.
What do you think he would think right now about the success of Thrasher?
He'd be proud of everyone, Tony and everybody. this whole family, even Jake's gone, but I think he would be really proud of it. Yeah, I mean, I know he would.
I think he'd just be walking around big like this. I told you.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, yeah, of course, I started this.
Yep, and he did. Yeah. And he's hard ass about it. He did it right.
He was fucking the best.
He was.
So privileged to have gotten to, you know, spend so much time with him.
Every single thing, every time for my whole life, I'm only wearing Thrasher shit.
Yeah, that's look crazy. Every you photo always show me, you're like, look at this photo. I'm wearing a Thrasher shirt.
Only Thrasher my whole life.
All through everything. That's amazing.
Like, I mean, everywhere.
Well, let's talk about this new chapter. Rollers, California.
Oh, Sicky, yeah. It's the best.
So, okay, we are talking Rollers, California.
And it's just Rollers, you know, Rollers, California, 2020. Okay, so Donnie and me have Breaks Brand, and then the skateboarders have Rollers, California. And Donnie's doing the art. We got Cranny involved, Schmitty, me, Jamie Prescott for events and all sorts of stuff. We got a nonprofit through it. We want to do profit sharing, and it's skateboarders for skateboarding. And this is who we got. And it's like bearings, bolts, grip tape, everything that the other company that got hijacked is taking its place. It's from the streets, and this is real. And we got Cranny, of course, Alex Olson, Andy Roy, Chris Cope, Colin Provost, Danny DeCola, Figgy, of course. For golf, Rex, Grayson, Jesse Paez, Jimmy Gale, John Dixon, and Louis Lopez, what the fuck? Mike Anderson, Nuge, Rainey, Riley, Robbie, Ronnie Sandoval, Sammy Baca,
Orale.
Wes Kramer, Mark Johnson, what the fuck else do we want? That's a fucking crew, that's the shit right there.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited, I haven't been this excited about life in the fast lane for a long time.
And all those guys were pretty immediate, like, oh yeah, we're in.
It's on. Like, let's do this, it's on. What else is there?
That's so sick.
Who's over there? Now one.
When JD showed up a year later, I knew we'd get even stronger.
And rumor has it that the flow team is starting to get pretty stacked.
Oh, the Schmitty flow team? Who else is on flow team?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
A one-man RV.
That's pretty sick. And then we got Andy, who's pumped up. And we're going to get him driving. He can get the crew fired up in
Get you fired up, nobody can.
Yeah, and he's been through the ringer and back, Vietnam twice, Cambodia, you know, Iraq, America, everywhere. Look, every single treacherous, terrible thing, he's been there.
I'm excited for this pandemic to be over so we can...
What's a pandemic?
It's like pandemonium in your mind.
Oh, because... Yeah. Oh, because everyone's on house arrest now.
Yeah, house arrest.
Let's get this over with and Rollers get it cracking the fuck 2020 off.
2020 style.
We need to get it cracking. Yeah. Keeping skateboarding. We don't just skateboard. We're skateboarders. We live it to our death. And that's it.
What about the Baca shirt? That graphic's amazing. That's
the best fucking shit ever. Like, dude, that was so much. There's no much more respect than I have than that motherfucker. Like, three Sammy. Boys. How do you just say it? Let's just handle three boys. Yeah. What a bad motherfucker. And have the best part.
Big love for Sammy for show. What, you got bearings out already?
We're doing everything we did. Bearings, slippers, grip tape. Fucking bolts, and then whatever else anyone wants to add, like shirts, certain shirts.
I
want to
do back rollers, back rollers.
Yeah, back rollers stuff, anything. Yeah. And bricks, too. Bricks is like whatever art skateboarder person wants to do, we have them go through bricks. We got a bricks storefront in San Pedro. So Bricks Brand is like a sacred geometry of like key people in our lives that can do anything they want. Let's get it that cracking. We got a spiritual advisor like Eric Brunetti's gonna do stuff, you know. The list is endless. And nice. then that's just like art outlet, and then Rollers is full-on take it to the curb outlet, and it's all the team is the company. We got this. Like, the whole team says fuck you, then the whole company says fuck off. We're done. Like, it's on. Like, these, it's for life or forget it.
I saw the hashtag is don't fuck with us, don't fuck without us.
Yeah, we got that from Busby, from Buston. That was a good one, man. It's true. Big. Like, don't fuck with us, but don't fuck without us. We got this.
Yeah. Well, things are looking good on that front.
Yeah, with love. And these, all these dudes have proved what they do, what they do.
Yeah. They're
not faking anything. There's a lot of fakers out
Sean
there.
Sean Stewart, a.k.a. Frex, coming through with a huge video part.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Fucking
Fred Gall. So hyped on that. Yeah,
Fred's been skating every day. It's so rad to see him on Instagram, staying clean, sober, and just ripping. Fuck. Wes Kramer forever. Figgy forever. Louis Lopez forever. Every
fucking, all of them news. Fucking Manderson. God damn it. It's seriously the sickest shit.
Provost, Ronnie, John Robbie, Dixon.
Fuck. Jesse Paez. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. That's the best shit.
On that same vein, I wanted to thank you. You created the graphic for this new shirt that we just did, and we fucking raised $1,000 for UCSF Medical. And Zarosh printed them. Dude, it was just sick. It was like the three of us came together and did this. And I think when we did it, we all discussed, like, how sick would it be if we, you know, $10 a shirt, that's 100 shirts. We could probably sell 100 shirts. That's $1,000. And obviously couldn't have done it without you. Like, everyone was so stoked on that graphic. And then Zarosh's hard work, putting in the time, printing it for low cost so we could turn it around quick and cheap. And everybody out there that bought it, thank you so much. It feels like I'm smiling knowing that my check is being handed over to these guys. Hopefully we can do more stuff like that. You know, like giving back to like things that are important and just showing that, like, you know, that we have to fucking, you know, everyone has to put in to fucking enjoy this ride.
Absolutely. And Zarosh is like our spiritual advisor for the whole team and everything, for everybody.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do TM, Transcendental Meditation, on these trips.
That's important.
So important. You can get focused. Everything falls into place. It's all nothing but positive energy, no matter what. It uplifts the populace on it.
Yeah.
Without even trying.
Yeah, Cheryl still talks about the day you brought up all the sweatshirts and we for Christmas sick. And we handed them out to the homeless and then went to the Glide and dropped off like that food and shit.
That was the best feeling.
She's got a question she wanted me to ask you.
Of course.
Why vegan cheese?
I mean, I was raised vegan and I don't like dairy, and dairy's not good for you. And, you know, thank you, Mom, for everything. I love you for teaching me how to eat properly, and that's why I feel and look decent. Well, I'm 70 something years old. I don't know how old I am, but but like, because cheese is milk, it's animal, you know, it's just, I don't know, I got animal friends. It doesn't make me feel good, so that's why I don't eat it. But I do like vegan cheese. God, there's only one or two that's good. The rest tastes like cardboard garbage.
Okay.
But I just want to put things in your body that makes you feel really good, because don't you want to feel good? Mm-hmm. I remember the first or second hangover, I was like, you know what, I don't like that.
I also want to give a big shout out to Sean and the Berkeley Vert Ramp, because he's been fucking,
I love Sean.
Yeah,
dude. Yes, thank you, Sean.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for everything. We've had a lot of good sessions with you and all that. I was wondering if we can end with two things. One is a kick-ass song that we'll end with. But before that, what like advice you could give to people that are going through a tough time or like trying to get out of a dark place in their life and shit?
Embrace it. Somehow come to grips with embracing it. Because it'll only make you better, even though you don't want to hear this right now. Don't get comfortable with being miserable, and embrace all your hardships, because they will turn around then, no matter what. And you'll be able to look back and be like, well, I pulled that off. I feel pretty good about it in a humbling way. Like, I got through that. I can use that tool to get through other hardships and maybe help people along the way by example or whatnot. And always forgive people and never hold on to like anything negative, because you'll just give yourself cancer, or it definitely affects your DNA and your cells in your body. Negativity affects your cells drastically negative. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can somehow get through it, there is suffering. There is like things that happen that you have to go through to heal. But once you get through that, like depression is part of it. You pull out of it. Could take a year or whatever, but get out of it, and it will turn around no matter what. That's a fact. I've learned that on many occasions. That's why I'm still here. I'm okay with that.
Perfect. Appreciate that. Episode 70 is a wrap. You fucking did it. I'm so hyped, dude. Thank me you too. So much.
I love you. Thank you. You gave me so much support through some hard times in my life. So thank you. I love you.
Pleasure. What song should we fucking take it to the bridge with?
Oh, man. I mean, that's a lot one. That's a huge one, because
that's a big request.
How about just let's go with the Lee Ralph song? Let's dedicate this to Lee Ralph.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Steve Clare witnessed him, 100% witnessed him. I've over the years pretended and turned it into me witnessing him, but it was Steve Clare. Lee Ralph rolling around in shorts, no socks, a jean jacket, cut off sleeves, listening to Bee Gees, "I Gotta Get a Message to You," and screaming it at the top of his lungs and crying and rolling around in Denmark on a wooden floor, and didn't stop until the song was over. And you're not going to believe it's the Bee Gees either.
The preacher taunted me and he smiled, said, "Come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a dime. There's no time for the fool. I just gotta get a message to you. If I broke her heart, then won't you tell her I'm sorry? And for once in my life I'm alone, and I gotta let her know just in time before I go.
Big love, Lee. Lee listens to the podcast and he sends me direct messages through Instagram sometimes. And
I love Lee so much.
I just want to add from myself that with everyone passing, Grosso, Jake, Hubbard, P-Stone, all these people passing, fuck, I don't know how to say this, but dude, people like you, I told Andy the same thing. You guys need to stick around. It's so fucking important that the people that helped pave the way for what everyone gravitated towards are still here. Grosso said it really good. There's going to be a lot of people that skateboard, but only some people are skateboarders.
Yeah.
And that's so true. And we know who the real skaters are.
Yeah.
And fucking guys like you are a huge reason why everybody came to this thing. And just nothing but love.
Fuck, thanks.
And so Roche is here, so yeah. That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.